Please follow along in your Bibles, or the words will be on the screen. If you do not have a Bible, we would love to give you one as a gift from us. So please raise your hand, and Larry will bring one to you. Our scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Judy. So we are in the last message of our Mythbusters series, and we've spent the last few weeks talking about commonly held myths and misconceptions about the church. And today we're going to bust one last myth, and that is, you don't need church to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've probably heard at least one person at one time say, "I don't need to go to church to be a good Christian." And perhaps you might have said that yourself at one point or another. I can read my Bible at home. I can praise God in the car. I can worship him on a mountaintop in the middle of a lake or from my couch. And to an extent, that is true. You can worship God any place, any time. You don't need a dedicated building or a time to do so. And yes, we live in a world that champions independence. We admire those who pull themselves up by their bootstraps. We live in a world that has steadily embraced an isolated lifestyle. We shop online rather than go to brick and mortar stores. Online classes are becoming the norm. We text more than we talk, and we connect on social media more than we do in cafes and parks. And we live in a world full of imperfect people. The church is full of imperfect people. Church people don't have it all together, as we just talked about a few weeks ago. That's why they come to church, because they need God and they need each other. But people come to expect more from the church. And so when the church disappoints them, and regretfully it happens a lot, people walk away from it and say, "I don't need them. I don't need organized religion to be a good Christian." But 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 shows us that following Jesus never meant to be a solo act. It's not just me and Jesus, it is we and Jesus. So let's take a closer look at that scripture reading. Peter writes, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him." So Peter begins by reminding us that Jesus is the living stone, and not just the living stone, but the cornerstone. So back in that day, when you set out to build something, you didn't have a Home Depot or a Lowe's that you could go to buy nice, neat, uniform stones to build with. You had to go out in nature and hunt for rocks and stones. And of course, not one was the exact same as another. And they were all different shapes and sizes, so they had to carefully piece together those stones and then fill it with mud and mortar to hold it together. And so that first stone, the cornerstone, was very important. The weight of the building laid on that stone. And if it is not strong enough, if it is not capable enough, the structure will collapse. And just as important to the strength of that stone is the fact that that stone will determine the sight lines, the angles, the direction of the building. So if the cornerstone is crooked, the whole building will be crooked. Every other stone depends on that stone's alignment. The cornerstone is not meant to be decorative, but decisive. And so often, we treat the cornerstone as though it is decorative and not decisive. Our tendency is to say, I like this stone, I could use this stone in my life, but I want to put it somewhere else in the building. Maybe I want to put it in the front garden bed so people will see that I'm a good person. Or maybe I want to put it in the back of my house so that people won't call me a holy roller. Or maybe I'll put it on the side of my house so that it's there when I need it. And in the meantime, it'll just cover a hole or a crack, kind of like a Band-Aid. But then that means our lives are built on something other than that cornerstone. And without that stone as the cornerstone, the structure won't stay put together. But here's the key. The cornerstone doesn't stand by itself. Its entire purpose is to connect with other stones. And in the same way, following Jesus, our cornerstone means we are connected to him, but we are also connected to other people. To claim Christ but reject the church is like saying you want the cornerstone but not the rest of the building. Peter goes on to say, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So a stone, one stone on its own is just a rock sitting in the dirt. But when you place it alongside other stones, fitted together, aligned with the cornerstone, it becomes part of something much bigger. That's what church is. Alone, we're just stones scattered about. But together, we are God's house. We are a temple, a place where God dwells. Christianity was never meant to be a solo project. It was meant to be a community project. And this is why the myth, I don't need church, breaks down. You may know Jesus personally, and that's great. You should know Jesus personally. But you cannot live out the fullness of your faith apart from his people. Picture a fireplace full of burning coals, right? They're white hot, they're radiating with heat. But if you take one coal and you separate it from the rest, what happens to it? Yeah, that light and that warmth, that heat, fizzles out, right? It grows cold and dark. But if you place it back onto the heap of coals, that flame reignites. And that's what happens when we pull ourselves away from the church. Alone, our faith loses intensity. Together, we keep one another burning with the fire of God's Spirit. And Peter piles on more images. In verses 9 and 10, he says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Notice, none of these are individual titles, right? You can't be a people by yourself. You can't be a priesthood of just one. You can't be a nation alone. And to walk away from the church is to walk away from your very identity in Christ. Another image we're given for the church is a body. We are the body of Christ. So imagine it like if a hand is cut off from the arm, It withers away and it dies. And in the same way, a Christian cut off from the church doesn't grow, they shrink. And Peter also tells us why God gathers us together. He says that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We were made to praise, not just as individuals, but as people. So yes, you can sing in your car, you can pray at your kitchen table, but there is something beautiful and powerful that happens when God's people gather together to declare his praises. The church is God's lighthouse to the world. One candle in the dark may flicker, but a city set on the hill cannot be hidden. So let's go back to the myth. I don't need to go to church to have a relationship with Jesus. Is it true? No one can take your relationship with Jesus away from you. But if you want to grow, if you want to truly live out your calling, if you want to live a purposeful life, if you want to shine his light in the world, then yes, you need to be in community. You need to be a people. You need to be the church. People tend to view church as this, like it's part of an a la carte menu of Christianity. It's an optional add-on. You can take it or leave it. It's definitely not. It is the very environment where Christianity thrives. And listen, the church isn't a perfect place. I think that sometimes why people walk away from it is because they think going to church means it's going to solve all their problems, it's going to take away all their pain, it's going to meet all their needs, and they get here and they find out that's not entirely the case. It's not a perfect place. Rather, it's a redeemed people. Church is sometimes messy. There's a poem called Church is Hard. I don't know who wrote it. But I'm going to read a few lines from it, not the whole thing, though. Church is hard for the person walking through the doors for the first time, fearful of judgment. It's hard for the prodigal soul returning home, broken and battered by the world. Church is hard for the couple who fought the entire ride to service. Church is hard for the single mom surrounded by couples holding hands in seemingly perfect families. Church is hard for the widow and widower with no invitation to lunch after service. Church is hard for the deacon or pastor with an estranged child. Church is hard for the sinners. It's hard because on the outside it all looks shiny and perfect, our Sunday best in behavior and dress. But beneath those layers, we find a body of imperfect people, carnal souls, selfish motives. But here is the beauty of the church. Church isn't a building, a mentality, or an expectation. Church is a group of sinners saved by grace and living in fellowship. Church is a body of believers bound as brothers and sisters by an eternal love. Church is a holy ground where sinners stand as equals before the throne of grace. Church is a refuge for broken hearts and a training ground for mighty warriors. Church is a converging of confrontation and invitation, where sin is confronted but accompanied with an invitation to faith and trust in the one who restores. Church is a bearer of burdens and a giver of hope. Church is a family coming together, setting aside differences, forgetting past mistakes, and rejoicing even in the smallest of victories. Sometimes it's hard, but it is the place where grace is practiced, where truth is proclaimed, where love is lived out, and it is where God has chosen to make his presence known, and he never fails to meet us here. Peter reminds us, we are living stones meant to be built together. We are a chosen people, not just individuals. We are a royal priesthood serving together. So let's bust the myth once and for all. Christianity is personal, but it was never meant to be private. Faith is individual, but never meant to be isolated. When we come together around the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, we become the spiritual house where his presence dwells, the family where his love is shared, and the witness through which his light shines into the world. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you are our living cornerstone. We thank you for calling us not only to yourself, but also to one another. Forgive us for the times we've tried to live the Christian life on our own. Build us together into your spiritual house. Help us to love one another deeply, to grow together faithfully, and to shine your light boldly. May our lives together as your church declare your praises to a world in great need of hope. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand and affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.